The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Much for that. Can you give me just a little bit more volume there, Brother Mason? You do a great job. Thank you. And that is about good right there. Most of you know I grew up on a farm, about 180 acres in Millers, Maryland. And my dad worked for Maryland National Bank in Baltimore City. And for the first 6 years of my life, I grew up being raised not by my parents, but by some old-fashioned Methodist-type people. Never witnessed to me, but always just was very kind, very, very kind, and took good care of me as I was coming up during those childhood years. During the time that I lived with Mom and Daddy back over on the at the ranch home that my dad built, there was a man that lived in the right beside us down the lane. We had beside our house, my grandfather lived on one side. My dad built him a house as a gift and gave it to him. And so he lived on one side of us. And there was a large, large field in between. Then down behind us was all of our fields that we had, where we'd plant crop and stuff like that. On the other side of the house was a long lane that would go down to a farm that was in the valley, very beautifully laid farm in the valley. You'd go down this lane for about, three quarters of a mile, and Fred Wise lived on that farm. He was a World War II vet, had his arm taken off in the war by a bomb, and had one of these metal type of hook arms right there. And I loved to hang around Mr. Wise. I would go down to his farm often. I'd help him milk his cows. When it came baling time, we had fields across the road from our house. It was nothing but fields all around us. There weren't many houses out there. And so, I'd go down help him many times when it came time to take in the hay or something like that. I'd just volunteer, go down and say, Mr. Wise, do you need help? And so I'd help him. I'd help Bill Thorne, lived on the other side of his place, and some other farmers out there. And so I was always busy. They're always kind to me, and so they sent Mom home pies and cakes for my labor, and she liked that. We always had fresh milk and eggs and all that good stuff. And so, but I remember helping Mr. Wise, and I would ask Mr. Wise questions. I always thought that his name was Wise because he was wise, and he was. But I remember talking to Mr. Wise and asking questions. And I remember he had some different ones that would work on his farm. He didn't have a ranch. He had a bona fide farm. And one day I remember us sitting out beside the stream. And I was talking to Mr. Wise. And I was asking Fred Wise some questions about life. And he said this. He said, in being a farmer, you're going to find this out, Mike. He said, people go through seasons in their life just like we have seasons in our world. He said, example, he said, every day of your life, you're going to go through spring, summer, fall, and winter. I said, what do you mean? He said, what's easy? He said, spring is when you're getting up. Everything is fresh. Everything is bright. You're coming out of the winter time. It's springtime. You're getting up. Things smell good. You just got a bright day. Summer's the peak of your day. That's when you're getting the most done. That's when you're at your finest and at your best. He said, fall is when you get done going through the summertime. Now it's time to go home, rest, eat some supper, sit on the front porch, and watch the sun go down. He said, in the wintertime, of course, that's when you sleep. He said, so it's the wintry time. When you just go to bed, you cuddle up and go to sleep. By the way, it's preaching time, not winter time. Please don't cuddle up and go to sleep. Okay, but he said, you're going to go through all sorts of seasons. He said, you really will. He said, and most of the time in your life, he said, you'll go through those seasons all in one day. You're going to have times when you're partially happy and times when you're very happy. You're going to have times when you're partially sad, times when you're very sad. You're going to have times when you're mellow and you just kind of like float along with everybody else and it's ho-hum. If it happens, it happens. If it don't, it don't. You're going to have times when you're kind of tense and you wish everything would happen right then and there. those things only, of course, to your advantage. He said, but you're going to go through seasons in your life. I remember him telling me that as we sat beside that one stream that we'd often go down and sit beside watch the fish run. I remember him telling me that. I thought, you know, that is very neat. And so as I was preparing for this sermon last night, I was thinking about the different seasons. You know, everything runs on cycles. Example, the sun is on an 11-year cycle. They say that the human body changes, and it's on a cycle. They say that every 7 years, your blood cells replace themselves. We see there's seasons all throughout the things around us. We see this, that seasons are normal. You'll see in the book of Genesis chapter 4 and in verse 14, the Bible says, and God said, let there be light in the firmament. The Bible says of heaven to divide the day and the night. Let the lights be for a sign, for seasons, for days, and for years. So seasons are normal. God's the one that created seasons. By the way, we don't need to be ashamed of the seasons. We ought to enjoy all the seasons that God gives us. Not only the seasons of the spring, the summer, the fall, and the winter, but also the seasons of life. We have senior citizens. That's a season. We have those that are younger than senior citizens. I would say they're in mature adulthood. That's a season. We have those that are adults, not yet quite mature. That's a season. We have premature adults. We have teenagers. We have preteens. We have those that are elementary. We have those that are in the nursery. Hey, can I tell you? You ought to enjoy where you are right now. You ought to not be envious against someone else. You say, I'm a young married couple. I wish I was old. But when you get old, you're going to wish you were young. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm working too much. But when you can't work, you're going to wish you could. Yeah. Well, you know, I can't remember things. But there's some people here, I wish they could forget. Yeah. Some of you can't remember where you parked your car. You wish you could remember. Yeah. There are seasons we go through. Genesis chapter 40 and verse 4, the Bible says, here's the captain of the guard, and he charged Joseph, and he says this. He says, with them, he served with them, and it says, and they continued a season in the ward. So here Joseph was a season in the ward. Never complained, never belly ached, never cried, but was a season in the ward. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 7, the Bible says, ye dwell in the wilderness, it says a long season. So sometimes people will dwell in the wildernesses of their life, and it's a long time. They think, preacher, can I ever get out of it? I seem dry, it seems like I'm not happy, it seems like it's a long, dry season. Sometimes seasons are long, sometimes seasons are short. Can I tell you, God is in charge of the seasons. Amen. We're supposed to be thankful for all things. So when you go through a dry season, thank God for it. When you go through a season when everything's bright, everything's happy, everything's fulfilling, everything is like, wow, cloud nine, hey, thank God for that. When you go through the valleys and it just seems like that you're all lonely and by yourself, find a place, get alone with God, and thank God for that. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21, the Bible says, and he charged, it says, he changeth the times and the seasons. Only one person can change the seasons in your life. That's God. You can't get somebody else to do it. Only God can change the seasons. Now, if it be true that only God can change the seasons, then don't you think you ought to be like Paul that said that he was content in whatsoever state, that's the position of life, that he found himself in. So Paul said, I'm going to be content. I'm not going to be upset. I'm not going to be a bellyacher. I'm not going to be somebody that's a complainer. I'm not going to be somebody that says, well, I just feel like... No, he said, I'm going to be content. Now, God is in charge of the seasons. There is some things that doesn't change in a season. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 18 and verse 26, right judgment doesn't change in any season. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 2, right preaching does not change in any season. The Bible says that the preacher is supposed to be instant in season, out of season. All right? So it doesn't matter how the preacher feels, he's still supposed to get up and preach. It doesn't matter if he's tired, energetic, doesn't matter if his mind is clear or foggy. He's still supposed to get up and preach. He's not supposed to get up. Now, can I tell you what preaching is? Preaching is teaching caught on fire. That's what preaching is. There has to be. Now I thank God for good teachers. That's great. But there has to be times when you come to church, the preacher gets up and he preaches. He raises the voice like a trumpet. He raises that which is the tempo up. He might hit the pulpit. He might walk back and forth. He might come down and visit you. Okay, but there has to be that type of preaching. By the way, it'd be better to come to a church where you got a preacher that's going to preach than to sit there, fall asleep, fall out of the pew, hit your head, be knocked unconscious. Man, I just saved your life. Right judgment is always right. Right preaching is always right. You ready? Soul winning is always right. A preacher, I don't know if they're ready. You don't know till you talk to them. You don't know till you give them a track. You don't know till you care. And by the way, you don't have to bow your head in shame. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, I'm a Jehovah Witness. Pulled out a track. I said, hey, you'll really need this. He said, but I just got done telling you I'm a Jehovah Witness. I said, look, being a Jehovah's Witness doesn't take you to heaven. Being a Baptist don't take you to heaven. I'm Baptist. I'm not going because I'm Baptist. I'm going because I'm saved. I said, unless you get saved, sir, you're going to die a Jehovah's Witness and you're going to burn in hell that they say don't exist. Now, can I tell you this? I'm saying that soul winning, it's always right. And by the way, if you do it all the time, it's fun. I mean, it is just downright fun. I have more fun in soul winning than anybody else I know, and I am with me all the time. And so I'm saying this, soul winning can be fun. Hey, right living is fun. It's just fun. You know, when you live for God, it's fun. You can have fun without drinking. You can have fun without doping. You can have fun without smoking. You can have fun without going down to a dirty movie. You can have fun without hanging out in the bar. You can have fun. Hey, I'm telling you, living for God, it's fun. Somebody cursing around your desk, pull your Bible out, lay it right there, and watch them. Every time they come up, they get nervous. Hey, that's fun. That's fun. I was on a plane the other day, opened my Bible. A man said, is that a Bible? I said, yes, sir. He said, okay. Summons for the stewardess said, can I sit somewhere else? You know, just having a Bible gives you more room on the plane. There's advantages. Living right has its advantages. Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, the Bible says that Felix trembled and answered. It says, go thy way, it says, for this time. He says, when I have a convenient season, by the way, he never did. And when I have a convenient season, he said, I will call for thee. Paul was witnessing to him, telling him how to be saved. And here Felix said, wait a minute, not ready for that. Don't want that. Don't want to listen to that. And so you go your way. I'm going to go my way when I have time for you. By the way, sometimes seasons never come because you never want them to. You ever seen people? Sunshiny outside. Nice. Beautiful. Little cool breeze blowing. Flowers are growing. The grass is waving at you. Birds are flying over. They're waving at you. Man, it's just beautiful. Somebody walks outside and says, this is terrible. Boy, I hope one of those birds lands on your head. Hey, look, you can thank God for the nice days. One good thing about Texas is you can have a bad day, and by noon, it's a good day. Hey, don't you thank God you don't live in Alaska where it is dark for months? I mean, here, I'm telling you, It gets bright. I'm talking about very bright. And in the summertime, you can fry an egg on the front of your car and you don't even have to pay. Come on. I'm saying, hey, you can thank God for some things. Stop looking and saying, I tell you what, I just don't know. I'm telling you, God is good. God is good to you. God is good to me. You can smile. You can go outside. Thank God for all that God has done. You serve a living and a good God tonight. Let me give you some seasons. I'm going to give you more than four. Statement number one. Let's begin with the season of testing and temptation. I think we could agree tonight that's probably the night season. There's the time of testing and temptation. Psalm 16 in verse 7, the Bible says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. He says, my reins also instruct me in the night seasons. What's that mean, preacher? Here's what it means. God is willing to put reins around you to instruct you how to walk during the night seasons. Now, you can cut the reins anytime you want to. You can say, God, I don't see how this connects with this. By the way, if we would just take God as God, just take God as His word. Well, I can't figure it out. Well, understand this. You're probably not as smart as God, and you ought to trust God whether you can figure it out or not. So if God says something in the Bible, you ought to take God at His word, because after all, we know whose word it is. And if it's God's word, take Him at His word. Hey, I'm telling you, He loves you. He's got your best interest at heart. He's trying to help you, guide you, take you the right direction. If you can trust Him for salvation, you ought to be able to trust Him for your daily living. Here's what we understand. There's two paths. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25, the Bible says choosing, that was Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, says to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There it is. All right, so some people decide, here's what I'm going to do. I don't care what you say, God. I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. Sounds like rebellion. I'm going to do when I want to do what I want to do. Sounds like rebellion. And God, I really don't care what you have to say about it. Now, can I tell you, God does love you. God does care. God does have your best interest at heart. And we ought to decide tonight that God knows best. What happens when we decide not to obey God? Well, there's chastisement for the believer. What is that? That's a good old-fashioned spanking. The kids were coming up. We had a paddle. We were very, very innovative in the name that we called the paddle. He was called Mr. Woody. So we had Mr. Woody. He was about, about a foot and a half long. He was about 5 inches wide. And he was about 3/4 inch thick. And Mr. Woody. Now, can I tell you, Mr. Woody's been kidnapped. Mr. Woody was held for ransom. Mr. Woody disappeared. But we always found him back. Now, can I tell you, please understand, there was some chastening that went on. Now, it wasn't because we didn't love our kids. The Bible says, if you loveth your child, you spareth not the rod. We loved them enough to help them. Well, you know, I'm just going to sit them in the corner, Mr. Spock says to do. I'm going to sit them in the corner. Let them just try to figure out what to do next. No! Trust the God of the Bible. Amen. Now, I'm not saying abuse your child. Amen. No, I'm not saying that. God gave in a sitting position one of the most southern parts of your southern personal hemisphere to be able to be used and nothing else. Somebody said you apply the Board of Education whereby the seat of understanding now yields wisdom. Okay, now wait a minute. So here's what we understand. We understand there's chastisement. If a parent loves a child, they do that. How much more does God love you? Somebody says, well, I'm sinning, I'm getting away with it. No, you're sinning, you're not getting away. You don't know what's happening in your physical body right now. You have no idea what's about to hit your plow. Can I tell you that God is still God? And the Bible says that sin will be judged. And can I tell you tonight, He loves you enough to be able to bring chastisement if needed. Don't play with God. He's bigger than you are. So what happens if a person is chastised and yet they still don't obey? Well, God does this. He just brings them up to heaven, home, to sit beside them. By the way, that's what most parents do. Most parents said, okay, listen, you're not behaving sitting by yourself. Come over here. You're going to sit with us. Many parents do that. If a child, by the way, even a teenager, can I tell you tonight what happens? Now, wait a minute. If you endure hardness, here's what God says. James chapter 1 and verse 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive, it says, the crown of life. So when temptation comes, endure it. Endure it. Amen. Man, a person says, I was a drinker, I was an alcohol, I was a drunk. I went over there, somebody's house, and they offered me some wine, whiskey, beer, whatever, and nobody saw, so I took it. Somebody did see. Who is it, preacher? God. Listen, you be sure. Did you drink out of this? Thank you. You be sure that you do not be that person that decides that you're going to flaunt that which is your ungodliness in the sight of a holy God. It pays to be holy. It pays to be right. It pays to live for God. You want God's power in you, flowing through you. You decide you'll be the person that you ought to be. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, wherein? It says, ye greatly rejoice. It says, though now for a season. So there's going to come a time when you go through the temptation, you can rejoice. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 3, the Bible says, thou therefore, it says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So when you endure temptations, God says that's a good soldier. That's one season. You ready? Season number two, a season of rest. Now, we all like rest, don't we? Don't be fooled. You go into a preacher's office and there's a couch there. It's not for counseling. I'm not going to tell you what time you'll knock on my window. Normally every Sunday afternoon, sometime, might be because I'm 54. I don't know what it is. My energy level gets depleted faster today than it ever did before. And so I'll preach on Sunday morning. I will go out and get a bite to eat. Sometime Sunday afternoon, I'll set my little phone on my for 20 minutes. And I'll lay down there, and for 20 minutes, I'm dreaming of heavenly things. Then the alarm goes off, and I'm back to reality. Can I tell you, a season of rest? The Bible says, over the book of Revelation chapter 6, I'm going to hurry, Revelation chapter 6 and verse 11, the Bible talks about how they were dressed in white robes. The Bible says, every one of them. You say, hey, when I get to heaven, can I pick out my suit? Sure, white. Hey, when I get to heaven, can I pick out the style? Absolutely, robe. The Bible says that they were in white robes, every one of them. The Bible says, listen to them now, and it says, rest yet a little season. So there'll be a little season of rest. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, the Bible says, he says, thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see, ask for the old paths. It says, wherein is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest, it says, for your souls. Hey, you know something? You stay with me. I want to help a little bit. You go to a liberal church where it's all about drama. It's all about the flash. They get up and they're always drawing attention to themselves, the way they sing. Now, can I tell you, God's not in that. If you ever leave here and you go to one of those liberal churches where it's all about them, you're not going to learn your Bible like you should. Now, I'm going to tell you, it takes a little bit of character to pay attention in a good old-fashioned independent Baptist church. You have to pay attention on purpose. It means you got to pinch yourself. If you're a man, you cross your leg. Preacher's preaching, you're having trouble staying awake. Pull those hairs. Bite your tongue. You're a lady and you got long hair, just go up here every so often, run your fingers through your hair, just grab a couple on the way down. He said, it shouldn't have to be that way. I know, you should be more spiritual. You say, that's not fair. I'm tired, I worked, I understand. But can I tell you, we pay attention to things that we want to. Hey, don't get mad at me tonight. Let's go to the ball game. You're sitting there, whoa, man, baby, look at that thing go. Whoo. Hey, let's go down to the fights. You got your favorite Manning or what is it? Merriweather? I was going to say, is it Mayberry or what is it? Yeah, that's the guy. Okay, and so, man, and you're in it. You're in it. You say, man, look at them go. Boom, 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 boom. Look at them. Or you go down to a restaurant, you look at that lady across the aisle, say, whoo, never saw anything eat like that. Wait a minute. You get excited about the things you want to get excited about. Why can't you get excited about church? Hey, you see somebody falling asleep in front of you, shout amen. Help them out a little bit. Sitting beside you, nudge them a little bit and say, wow, isn't that good? There's the season of rest. What are you doing during the season of rest? Well, you say, man, God's not using me to my full maximum potential right now. Man, I want to be in this ministry, this ministry, this ministry. I was an evangelist and my family and I, 12 years. God booked us. I never advertised in the sword. I'm not against guys that do that. If you're listening to this tonight and you're a preacher, God bless you, do it. But as far as an evangelist, I never did that. Never advertised in the Baptist Tribune. Never advertised in Revival Fires or any of the other periodicals. When I went to a conference, I had a principle. I wasn't going to ask somebody for a meeting. Now you say, that's dumb. Well, that's how God led me. God leads people different ways. That's how he led me. I'm not against a guy going to a conference and saying, hey, would you have me? I'm good. Would you sign me up? Sign me up. I'll come help you, church. I'll double your offerings. I'm not against saying that. I don't care. All right, wait a minute, watch. But I never did that. What I did is I prayed and I said, dear God, you know where we need to be. You know the people you want us to come into contact with. And God, I would rather you book my meetings than anybody else. You know where we are. Hey, if you want me to have a week off, I'll take a week off. Now please send in the money because I'm still working for you. You're my boss. So if you want me to have the week off, I'm asking with pay, please. But I'll take the week off. Then we stayed booked. I mean, it stayed booked, 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 booked. Very few weeks did we ever have off, but when we had two meetings in my entire 12 years of an agenda that somebody counseled on us, only two. During those 2 weeks that somebody counseled on us, I said, ooh, praise Jesus. Man, we get to stay home. I didn't say, well, I tell you what, I'm going to call this guy. I said, no. I said, whoa, that is so good. Now, can I tell you, we have to rest in the Lord. So, man, the people in the church, they don't know how valuable I am. They don't know what I can do. They're missing out on it. Maybe God just wants you to rest a little bit. You ever think about that? Other people in the church saying, I wish God would see me. I need to rest. Maybe God knows what you need more than you do. The Bible says here, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36, the Bible says, for ye have need of patience. So what do? When all of a sudden now, you get a little bit of time of rest. Thank God for it. James chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, be also patient, establish your hearts. So be patient. You can do this during a time of rest. You can be impatient. James chapter 5 and verse 9, the Bible says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned also. So you can be impatient. You can become a backbiter. You know who a backbiter is? A backbiter is somebody that's not satisfied with their service, and so they condemn everybody else that's not serving like they are not. That's a backbiter. Joseph was in prison, never complained, never was impatient. Here we go, got to hurry. So you have the season of testing and temptation. You have the season of rest. Here we go, season of fruitfulness. Now, don't we all like that? Season of fruitfulness. The Bible says in Ezekiel 34 and verse 26, the Bible says, the shower, it says, to come down in his season, there shall be showers, plural, of blessings. Don't you like those days? Everything goes right. Man, you get in the car and it starts. When it starts, it goes all the way to full. And you're thinking, who put that in there? Then you're registering back, who drove my vehicle last? Blessings. You walk down the hallway, you're shaking hands, somebody slips you a $50 bill. Said, who is he? I want to shake his hand. It's Brother Krupp. See him after church. Somebody slips you a $50 bill. Hey, wait a minute. Blessing. Blessing. You get up to sing, you're nervous. Your knees are playing the tambourines. Your heart is playing the bongo drum. You're nervous. You sing and you hit every note. You get off and say, never did that before. Blessing. Blessing. You walk down the hallway, the person you thought was mad at you looked at you, smiled, and said, have a good day. Blessing. You went home after church, mom and dad are normally climbing your case about something or everything, and they say nothing but good. Blessing. Amen. Blessing. By the way, sometimes you have to recognize it when it comes your way. Amen. You have to look for it. Come on. Don't view things always through the negative mind. Amen. Wait a minute. You ready? You ready? Somebody plays the piano. What's your favorite song? Blessing. Somebody goes to the bookstore, buys you your favorite book. Blessing. Somebody walks you out to the vehicle and says, God bless you. You've been a blessing to me. Words. Blessings. Somebody goes to the altar. You're kneeling down beside them. They don't know it. They're praying out loud and thanking God for you. Blessings. Somebody stops you and tries to, I'm saying, hey, thank God for your blessings. Now, you can look at your blessings and thank God for them, and you can glory in the fact that you've got some blessings that's come your way because you've labored, because you walked with God. But can I tell you, during the blessing times, just don't lap it up. Joseph had blessings. Remember the story? He was over all of that which was Egypt, but during the blessing times, he said, okay, we need to prepare for the lean times. Amen. Come on. Amen. See, if you get some blessings in your life, you can write them down and say, look, I remember when. I'm going through some lean times now, but I'm not going to get bitter at God because look over here how good God's been to me. Amen. So when you go over your lean times, you'll be able to reach over here and say, but hey, I'm going through it now. It's rough. It's tough. It's tumbling. I'm just having a hard time. But God's not forsaken me. I've walked with God all these years, and look what God has done for me. Amen. There's the season of testing, temptation, season of rest, season of fruitfulness. Ready? I'm heading down the home stretch. Only 9 more points. I'm kidding. Season of reaping. reaping. There's the harvest time, the joy time, reaping. Reaping. So I thought you're talking about that. No, I'm talking about areas that you sowed a long time ago. Now the harvest comes in. I was preaching down in Mississippi. There was a girl that was in our youth department years ago. She was always suicidal, super depressed. Her name is Karen. Karen listens to this every week of the world. Can I tell you, Karen graduated high school. We're so proud of her. Made it through. Now she's a youth director's wife in Mississippi. Loves the Lord, serving God, runs a teen band route. And she said, "Preacher, this is like a taste of heaven." Hey, what is that? I'll tell you, she is reaping what was sowed years ago. She's reaping what was sowed years ago. I look at my youth departments that Mrs. Wells and I were in charge of, even before these kids were ever a part of our lives, in New York. Just in New York alone, there are tons of young people, pastors, missionaries, assistant pastors, Christian educators, principals. One's the president of a Bible college. Hey, can I tell you? Are you listening to me? We got several that are lawyers, that are doctors. Hey, they made a success. Several guys are out there. They're out there working on the streets of New York. Faithful fathers, faithful daddies, faithful mamas working in business offices. Hey, look, we check up on different ones, and they're out there giving their best serving Christ. What's that? Reaping. Reaping. I was sitting in a restaurant a couple weeks ago. Guy came up to me, shook my hand. He said, "Hey, you're Brother Wells." He said, "I got saved under you." I said, "That's great, man. So good to see you. I'm so glad. How you doing?" He said, "Man, I surrendered to preach under you." I said, "That is so good. Man, where are you at?" Told me where he was. I said, "That is so good." He walked away. I looked at the guy that was with me. I said, "Who was that?" You know, you're gonna reap blessings that you don't even know. You just never know. You have no idea. I was in a restaurant the other day. I gave a lady a tract. She said, "You already gave me one of those." I said, "What'd you do about it?" She said, "I'll tell you what I did. On my break, went back, read it, bowed my heart, received Christ. Thank you." Amen. You don't know. You have no idea. I'm saying tonight that, listen, don't give up too quick. The Bible says so that they would sow in faith, it says, are blessed, it says, with faithful Abraham. Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 9, hey, you're blessed right up there with Abraham. Why? Because you're sowing it. Can I tell you, it's not all about us. Hey, I love you, but it's not all about us. "Oh, the time that I'm going through is so devastating." Hey, quit it. Hey, look at somebody else. Come on. Encourage, 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 encourage. Hey, and it'll come back again. You keep loving, you keep forgetting. Hey, it's going to be a day. It's coming back. I look at Mike Lofton and Melissa. Melissa rode the bus when I was a pastor in Tennessee. We ran buses to two states. One was Tennessee and one was Kentucky. We were a borderline town. Border town. We ran buses over to Kentucky. That's where she lived. She got on the bus, came to church. Mike got on the bus as a teenager, came to church. Every time I look at this young couple, she is now teaching in her Christian school. Mike's an outstanding preacher, great husband. Well, at least that's what she says. A great dad. I knew Brother Craig when Brother Craig was just, I guess, not much more than a teenager. He was going to a school that was going liberal, a college, came to me for advice, said, "What do I do?" I said, "Get out of that school. You go to a good, solid, fundamental Baptist college that's not wavering." He did. He graduated, went on staff here, served on staff here, moved down here. Now he's on staff here. hand changed a bit, except here. He was bald when he was 19. Is that true? When he was 19 years of age, he was bald. He was bald when he was 19 years of age. Somebody over here went, oh. There's the reason of reaping. Hey, look, you just stay with it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, almost done. Just hang in there, almost done. Here it says, therefore, it says, my beloved brother, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Hey, you just keep doing it. Well, man, I went out soul winning, preacher. Nobody got saved yet. Man, I prayed, preacher. God's not answering my prayers yet. I'm trying to help my kids turn out right, but I'm not doing so hot yet. Man, I'm coming to church. You open the Bible. I get nothing out of it yet. Singing in the choir. I'm the worst one in the choir. Hey, one day you'll be singing solos. Man, I joined the orchestra. Don't know how to get out of it. Now that I've got in it, stay in it. Stay in it. Just don't fall off the platform. Statement number next. I'm done. The season of sowing. You say, oh, that should have been first. No. No, first God gives you. God's already given to you. God's given to you. God gave me life. It's up to me what I wanted to do with my life. God gave you life. You can choose what. Hey, you can go to school tomorrow. Ready? We got a lot of public school young people attend our church. I'm very proud of you. Amen. Standing for God in the public school, that's hard and difficult. Man, you got my thumbs up. Amen. You go to school tomorrow. You're in a public school. You get a teacher that gets up there. They're cursing. They're swearing. They're trying to teach you evolution. I was a tadpole when I began to begin. Then I was a frog with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey in a coconut tree. And now I'm a man with a PhD. They teach you evolution. It's not true. It's not true. Some of you raise your hand and say, They'll make fun of you. Walk down the hallway, guys try to steal your purity, and you say, over this. Hey, I'm proud of you. Dress like a lady, walk like a lady, talk. I've heard of the persecution our girls go through just for dressing right. But you keep doing it. Hey, man, I'll tell you, I'm proud of you. Somebody's got to stand. I'm proud of you. You kids that come, by the way, the Christian school is not all it's cracked up to be sometimes. Hey, believe it or not, we might have one or two in the Christian school that thumb their nose at doing right. I've seen kids when I preach in chapel laugh at truth, kids that's in this room. You say, well, what do you do with something like that? I like what Hamlin said, you preach up their nose. I like that. I'm going to try it. Sounds nasty. The reason for sowing. Hey, listen, let me tell you this. You keep investing over and over. Let me give you two verses. I'm done. Here it is. Two separate passages. Here it is. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust Him all the way. God, I don't understand it. This local church thing. Preachers always preaching it. Always pushing it. Go to church. Go to church. Go to church. What should I do? God's going to say, go to church. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy paths. All thy ways. You know what you ought to do? You ought to just become a sold out Christian. Say, here's what I'm going to do. I know it's hard. I got a physical body. It's tired. Just serve Jesus. Be in church. Do what you ought to do. I'm done. Here it is. Last verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, the Bible says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly, well, this is a good farming verse, shall reap also sparingly. But he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Take the seed, go out to the farm. Seed bag, seed, a little bit here, a little bit there. It's going to grow, a little bit here, a little bit there. You take a lot, lot's going to grow. Stay with me. You might not get the results overnight. Might take a while. Say, preacher, I'm trying to live for Jesus. I'm trying. Man, I'm trying to win my friends to Christ. I'm trying. It's just so hard. I know it's hard. We got a lot of young professionals in this room. You go to secular universities. You have professors that teach you. And you're sitting there and you're saying, that's not right. That's not Bible. And you just keep trying. Wait a minute, listen. It is hard. It is hard. I remember, two illustrations, I'm done. When I was in high school, I worked two jobs. I worked early in the morning. I'd go over to the farm. The farm is about 30 minutes from my house. I would pass it when I would go into the high school. Always got up at 4:30 when Daddy woke us up, and I would go over to the farm, and I milk cows in the morning. So I would go over to the farm. I'd get there about 5:30, and I'd milk the cows from 5:30 to about 7 o'clock. Classes had to be there by 8, and so I'd milk the cows. By the way, I enjoyed that. I just enjoyed it. So I'd spend time on the farm. I'd milk the cows, get back in my Vega that drank more oil than it did gas, drove to my high school. When I got to high school, started classes, I had a friend of mine that owned an egg plant, an egg factory. And so he said, why don't you come to work for me for a while? And so I did. So after I finished, I was involved in high school sports. After I finished practice, I'd always go over to the egg plant and I'd work at the egg factory for a while. Now for a young guy, that's all I could do. Did that for a while. A guy that lived on the other side of us, down the other lane behind Pop, my grandfather, that lived beside us, there was another lane. His name was Bill Thorne. Bill said, I used to work out down. He had a weight, had weights in his barn. He's a big guy. He lifted weights. He was probably up mid-30s, maybe 40s or so, and he was just a big guy. He said, you can come down here, work out anytime you want. So I got on a schedule, 3 days a week, Wade Wagner, Donald Piercy, and I. We go down to Bill Thorne's farm. We go into his barn, and we work out with weights. Got to know Bill Thorne. He was in charge of a heating and air conditioning company down in Baltimore City, Maryland. He said, I'll make you a deal, Mike. He said, if you come down to work for me, I'll teach you how to draw blueprints. I'll teach you how to get up, do all the measurements and stuff like that for heating and air, duct work. He said, I'll train you how to do it. It could be a lucrative job. He said, and so why don't you consider that? So I quit those two other jobs, went down, started working for Bill, made triple the money. I like that. But I'd get up and I'd go out there with the crew. I'd do it early in the morning, and it's just like I did the milk cow type of stuff, and I'd go down there. I'd go out. I'd have keys to places, go in and do measurements, crawl up in those duct areas. I'd measure, get all the measurements, come back. I learned how to draw the blueprint stuff, just like, Josh, sometimes you'll do at your place. We didn't have the CAT thing that you use that's a computer, but I had to draw all that stuff out, push it in, and stuff like that. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. Hey, can I tell you, I enjoyed that stuff. It was neat to me. I've always been somebody that has enjoyed anything that I do. I'm glad God called me to preach. Man, you're not looking at a guy that says, man, he's a preacher and he just wished that he could go back up there and climb up there. No! 120 degrees, no! I'm glad God called me into the ministry. I'm honored. I'm thrilled. Can you imagine? I get paid to go soul winning. Man, I get paid to open the Bible and say, yeah! I get paid. You pay me to yell at you. That's amazing. And you keep coming back. You're going to go through seasons. Now, when you go through seasons, don't drop off. Let God work you through it. Let God. Well, I tell you what, I'm going through a season right now. I'm just going to leave the church. No, wrong decision. You just work through it. Going through a season, I'm going to leave my husband. Work through it. Let God do His work in you. It's just a season. That's all it is. It's just a season. That's all it is. Well, I've got a friend and I'm just going to leave them. You'll make it through. Well, me and my parent, we don't see eye to eye. Because you're shorter there. You'll make it through. You'll make it through the seasons if you just stay there and just obey God.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.